السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنك لعلى خلق عظيم، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله وفضل كرم إحسان of الله تعالى، الله رب العزت has allowed for us to gather in his house to fulfill this obligation of Jumu'ah. This is a very, very great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. There are so many people, so many parts of the world, that even if they want to make Jumu'ah, they don't have a facility to read the Jumu'ah Salah. And we, alhamdulillah, in our country, we are spoiled for choice. So many venues within few minutes, so many masajid, so many musallas. This is a great bounty, great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. Every work of deen is flourishing in our country. So we, as the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, servants of Allah Rabbul Izzat, we must take advantage. Must take advantage and get involved in every work of deen. One person asked that, can a person go to Jannat without getting involved in any work of deen? In other words, he doesn't go in Jamaat, he doesn't make taluk with a sheikh, he doesn't go to a darul room to study, nothing. Can he still go to Jannat? So I explained to him that Allah Ta'ala has kept the criteria for Jannat is Iman. And if a person wants to get a high rank in Jannat, then he must follow the Shariat and the Sunnat to the best of his ability. And then he must do everything, even optional deeds, over and above his farais to become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. We become close to Allah Ta'ala by fulfilling our farais. But then when we carry out optional deeds, then we become the beloveds of Allah Ta'ala. So that is the criteria. All these works of deen are just there to show us the way. Like we came now to Tongat after very long, so we are rusty with the roads and all of that. So now you can reach Tongat without using ways and other one, whatever it is, they show you the directions, right? So you can reach Tongat without it. But if you got that, it just makes it a little bit easier. So all these works of deen, they show us the road. And if we're going off also, they'll show us the right path. How to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and how to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the ayat kareema that we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning with regards to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on a very high pedestal of good akhlaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's akhlaq was such, his character was extremely noble. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself mentioned that I have been sent to perfect noble character. So this akhlaq, having good character, this is a very, very important feature in the Muslim. Last night, Hazrat Mahmudul Haq Magda Sahib Naun Barakatuh, he was mentioning in the majlis that we have to put our akhlaq right, and that of our children, and our house. Everybody calls us a very good friend. The place to start is at home. If our akhlaq is right at home, then it will be excellent outside also. So this noble akhlaq, people talk about da'wah, you know, that we need to invite people to Islam. If we look into the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many people embraced Islam just on the noble character of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one youngster who used to come to make Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's khidmat, but he was a Jew. Now, this thing really is, when I think about it, we battling to get our youth, Muslim youth, to come close to us. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jewish youth, the Jews, who they were Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's enemy. But what was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq? That even those youngsters wanted to come and make his khidmat. The youngsters from the Jews. So one Jewish youngster who used to come, used to make Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's khidmat, he fell ill. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit him. Went to his house, even to visit him. If our staff has to phone in sick, oh, this fellow again now. Again, normal story. Do we think to go and visit that staff? Go and visit the person. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go and visit even a dihati, a villager, somebody who got no standing in society. But if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that he is not well, he go and visit him. Go and make dua for him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to visit this youngster. He is a Jew, non-Muslim. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe when he seen his condition, he see that this person now is nearing his end. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that recite shahadat. You know, this shahadat Allah Ta'ala has given us, wallahi, we don't understand the value. There was an accident took place with some family member whose family members were in that accident. That person shared with me, see, you know, one of the people in that accident was talking to me at that time. You know, like, so I was consoling that person, you'll be okay and whatever. And next thing she passed away. He said, how I regret that I should have rather made a Reed Kalima that time. I didn't take that opportunity to make a Reed Kalima that time. It's the difference between success and failure. Iman is the difference between a life of bliss and a life of doom. Doom, we don't know what is doom. We think doom is 30th June. Everybody is so worried now, what's going to happen that time? Doom is leaving the dunya without iman. That is doom. If we have to read up the description Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave of azab of the qabr, azab on hashar, azab of jahannam, that's why our akabirin, they tell us every night, make muraqabah a maut. The reality of this world, that it's a fani world. That means it's something going to come to an end. The everlasting thing is the akhirat. The people of Jahannam, they will call out to the doorkeeper of Jahannam. People of Jahannam, they'll call out to the doorkeeper of Jahannam. They'll be screaming to him. He'll answer them after 1,000 years. Our lifespan is how much? 60, 70, 80. Illa mashallah, people are going to 90 and 100. Imagine just to get a jawab from the doorkeeper of Jahannam will be 1,000 years. And then when they get his attention, they will say to him, that tell Allah Pak to make some fesla with regards to us. How long are we burning? Are we suffering? So he will say to them, innakum makithun. You just stay, you're going to stay there, just stay. This Jahannam is not fairy tale. It's not fairy tale. So coming back to this incident, Huzur Akdas sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes to visit this youngster, he tells him to bring iman. The youngster looks at his father. Father was there in the room. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obey him. What he's telling you to do, do it. Youngster recites Kareema. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks out of the house and he mentions to the Sahaba, Allah ta'ala saved him from Jahannam. Allah saved this youngster from Jahannam. Daily people are passing away on kufr, on shirk. Does it hurt us that this person is going to Jannah? On another occasion, Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just on akhlaq, see the akhlaq, going to visit the sick, that person was saved from Jannah. Another occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, also another Jewish youngster who used to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's khidmat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes there. The father of this youngster is sitting by the headside of this child. Child is very sick. The father is reading the Torah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the father. He says, Ya Yahudi. He says, oh you Jew. Do you find my description there in the Torah? Do you find me mentioned there in the Torah? My character, my description, the place that I am going to emerge as a prophet. Did you find that in the Torah? So the father, he said, La. He said, no, I didn't find it. Nothing, there's nothing of you written in. This was his enmity for Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spoke lies. So the youngster lying there on the bed, he turns to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other words, he's saying, this father of mine is lying. He's lying. I have found your description in the Torah. You are described in the Torah. The place where you would emerge as a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, that too is mentioned in the Torah. And then he recites the Shahada. He recites the Shahada. Brothers, ask ourselves, our own children, how are they going to have confidence in us? This child, he saw his father being a liar, right? And then he brought iman. Our children, we send them to madrasa, we send them for hifz class, we send them to darul ulum. They go, they learning that, you know what, you have to read 5 times namaz is farz. They come home, the father is not doing it. What confidence is that child going to have either in the father or the ustad? One of two things is going to happen. The child is going to lose confidence in the father. So what kind of a father do I have? On the other hand, he may lose confidence in the ustad. If the ustad is making a big fuss, then namaz is for us. If I don't read namaz, I'm going to go to Jahannam. My father can't be taking me to Jahannam. If he's sleeping, then namaz can't be such a big deal. One of two things is going to happen in that child's mind. So sometimes we don't realize with our actions how we are negatively impacting those masoom minds. Now when the child gets bigger and he doesn't want to listen to anything, he's not listening to his father, he's not listening to his mother. Now the parents take him back to the same monana.
But already in his mind, this Maulana, what he is talking, whatever he says is discounted by my parents. If the child comes home and tells the parents, but Maulana said to watch TV is haram, hey, I leave all that in madrasa, man. We need to watch. So what are we teaching the child? So now when he's big and he's doing something wrong, you take him by the Maulana, or whatever the Maulana say, you must leave one side. That's what my father taught me. So this father spoke lies, that child realized that this is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to visit me, I'm sick. And my father is lying. Same time he brought Iman. When he brought Iman, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, he said, wake this man up from here. That means the father. Because he's an enemy to his own son. The son may pass away here. We can't have a kafir here who is attracting the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. So he said, wake this, take this person away from here. And you now become the guardians of your brother. You look after this child now. He has brought Iman. On one occasion, one Yahudi, he was known as a Hibar. He was like how we say Morana. So amongst them, this person now, he was a learned person amongst the Yahud. And it is mentioned in the riwayat that he was very wealthy. This Yahud, he was a very wealthy person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had loaned a few dinars from him. Because they won't take it back. Appointed time that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to pay back, this Yahudi person, he came before the time. Before the time to pay, he came for the money. And now he's demanding the money. Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him to see, I don't have anything now. I don't have anything. He says, if that's the case, I'm not going to leave you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, alright, then no problem, you sit down with me. You don't want to go anywhere. You say, I must pay you now and now. I don't have any money. The money was not even due. I don't have the money. But if you're saying, you want your money now and now, then you sit down here, no problem. You can sit with me. Zohar namaz, Asr namaz, Maghrib namaz, Isha namaz. He's sitting there. He's not going nowhere. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, can you imagine how upset they're getting? That this man is living in our town. This is our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a Yahudi and he's having his ways over here. So one, two of them with him, hey, watch out, go away from here, we'll sort you out. They're taking out big eyes for him, threatening him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realizes what they're doing. He gets upset with them. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this one Yahudi here is withholding you here in our presence. How can this happen now? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my Rabb has prohibited me from making zulam on anybody. He is owed the money. Fair enough, he came before the time, but he is owed the money. I got to show him good akhlaq. Yahudi spends the night there till next morning Fajr. Five namazes. After Fajr, he carries on waiting. Now when it is bright, like we say now after Ishraq time, like, you know, bright now.
He says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. Wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. He brings iman. And he says that, I didn't come here for the money. There and then, he says, half my wealth, half my entire wealth is fi sabilillah. He said, I didn't come here for the money. I came here to observe those sifat that's mentioned with regards to you in the Torah. That how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not fahish, he's not la'an, he's not a loud person, he doesn't make noise in the marketplace, he's not a hard-hearted, all that he read in the Torah. He said, I wanted to see this sifat. And now, after speaking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the short while, this is a suhbat. You see, before that, he was sitting there in a state of kufr. Now he brought iman. At the moment he brought iman, he gave half his wealth away. Fi sabilillah. He sat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam few moments. But now he's sitting as a mu'min. The effect of sohbat, in that one sitting, by the time he finished explaining that what he was doing this whole exercise, at the end of his explanation, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my entire wealth is at your disposal. You do whatever Allah Ta'ala inspires you to do with it, you do it. Akhlaq. What made him bring iman? Akhlaq. There's one alim in Dubai. He's from South Africa. For many years he is there now, Maulana Imran Musa. He's got an Islamic center there to run maktab, etc. But they have to do some dawah work there also. So he mentions that one German person came there, he's working in Dubai, he came to accept Islam. So he asked him, he said, bhai, like, first time you're coming and you just walked in to say, you don't want to find out, no, I came to accept Islam. He said, alright. He made him Muslim, everything. We asked him, say, what made you, you know, what motivated you? He said, but I'm a biker, you know. I'm a biker, I like my bikes. So, there was a race in Cape Town. So, one of my friends in Dubai was in the race. Car stopped. This person stopped, he came, he checked up, he started making one, two calls, he got the person with the bucky to load the bikes up, told these people, no, you all jump in my car, I'll take your way, you all staying. And he went out of his way to get them wherever they were staying. You see, he did about 200 kilometers more compared to where he was going. And this man was a Muslim. He said, and we in Germany, we were only told Muslims are terrorists, Muslims are like this, Muslims are like that. He said, after my interaction with that Muslim, I decided this is the religion I need to follow. So he came to accept Islam. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, you know, that we bring this good akhlaq in us. Good akhlaq in us. And especially at home. Allah give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq, Allah use us for the hidayat of mankind. And this weekend, as you know, the ijtima also is taking place in Peter Maritzburg. Try and attend the ijtima. Make dua for the ijtima, tell our women folk also, masoom, children all, make dua, Allah Ta'ala make it a means of hidayat for entire mankind. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.